Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Bill Vita, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Education. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Paul Cayatta. Bill, given the ubiquitous presence of information technology in mission and program delivery, how has this role of the CIO evolved?
That's an interesting question, and I would contend that it's not just in mission and program delivery. It's really more or less in everything we do, both in our personal lives and our professional lives. As technology becomes more ubiquitous, you have to worry about it less. Obviously, somebody has to worry about it, keep the lights on and things like that. But it allows you to focus more on not so much the technology itself as what you're using it for. And the role of the CIO traditionally has been one where you're the person who's worrying about the technology. But when you get to a point like we've been discussing today where you've got partnerships with different people, whether they're industrial partners, whether they're other government agencies, whether they're nonprofits, whatever it might be, to provide different parts of that technology support for you, you start worrying a lot less about technology and you start worrying a whole lot more about how you can get a cost-effective, high-performance outcome in support of your organization's mission. You really move from being a director of information resource management, which implies you're the guy like the Maytag repairman who gets the call when something's broken.
The utility model.
Right. To one where you're the chief strategist, where really your job is to be another smart person in the room who's trying to figure out how to use technology to solve a real business problem. And thankfully, that's a far more interesting challenge to base a career on than being the person who has to worry about what the next technology upgrade needs to look like.
Bill, you spoke earlier about the CIO Council. You are the co-chair of the Council's Best Practices Committee. Could you elaborate on the purpose of the CIO Council as well as the committee you co-chair?
Sure. The Chief Information Officers Council is the principal interagency forum to assist federal CIOs in realizing their mandates to ensure the rapid and effective implementation of information management and information technology solutions. We do this – we have the council obviously to promote dialogue that allows us to create a more results-oriented, efficient, and citizen-centered federal government. So the CIO Council works to improve agency practices related to the acquisition, modernization, use, sharing, and performance of federal government information resources. Within the Best Practices Committee, I personally like to say this is really more of a promising practices committee. It's our charge not only to really kind of lead the standard for where things are working well and propagating the dissemination of that information, but really to try to focus on things that are coming down the pipe that we know are going to be significant. We know that they're going to have impacts across a broad area of responsibility within organizations, and to try to start leading the policy and the practice debate around how we might better implement those promising practices within the federal government IT domain.
So that's sort of a good segue to my next question in transitioning to the future. Can you give us a sense of some of the key issues that will affect CIOs government-wide over the next couple of years? And given this perspective, what emerging technologies hold the most promise for improving federal IT?
Well, I think probably the biggest impacts over the next several years aren't going to be technology related because we've been discussing technologies in a constant state of change. I think the biggest challenges are going to be who's going to be running it, who's going to be manning the shops, who's going to be the people that you call when you need support in that area. A lot has been said, and within the CIO Council, Janet Barnes, our co-chair on the federal workforce issues, the IT workforce issues, has devoted years of study to trying to figure out how to solve that particular issue. And the good news is government continues to be a wonderful place to work, a very interesting challenge for folks who are passionate about delivering service to our citizens. And technology continues to become more efficient, more adaptive, and we've never had more tools available to us to be able to provide that type of leadership and management of IT resources in the federal government. I would suspect probably the most challenging issue of all will be how are we going to get enough people in the door with the right sets of skills to provide continuity to what we have today. While the baby boom generation is getting ready to walk out the door, they've all come to the end of a very full and successful career as a generational group. And unfortunately, the group behind them is smaller. there's not a technology solution that's going to be able to account for all of that collective energy. So I would say making sure that we're preparing the next generation to step into our shoes is probably the biggest challenge we've got to solve.
Your department is in a rather unique position in that it has one of the largest budgets in terms of dollars, but yet it is one of the smallest in terms of the number of people. You just mentioned the issue about people. What specific challenges do you think you may be facing, and what steps are being taken to attract and maintain high-quality technical and a professional workforce?
Well, we have the third largest appropriation in government at about $70 billion. We have a very small operational budget, though. It should absolutely be noted that most of that money is provided back out to people in the form of student loans and grants, different investments we're obviously making in ensuring that we've got very high-level quality in our educational system within the United States. In order to support that, of course, what we're trying to do is partner with OPM, partner through the CIO Council with the IT workforce to take advantage of every flexibility Congress has allowed us to go out and find people who are going to be able to stand up to our requirements. And we've been very fortunate. Education is a key issue on the minds of most citizens in the United States, and we've got no shortage of people who are interested in pursuing education, working in the department as a career. We are providing all of the incentives available through OPM. You'll see a lot of different things like performance incentives, bonuses, tuition reimbursements. They offer a lot of support through their website, www.opm.gov, for people who might be seeking federal careers in IT, not just in our department but at other departments. And I recommend people go and visit the USA Jobs website. Along with that, there are a number of interesting ways we're trying to reach out earlier in people's careers, whether it's through high school internships, college internships, even journeyman-level kind of opportunities to work in an exchange-like program with industry to get people involved, get people aware of the type of things that we offer and the type of opportunities for building a career maybe like I've taken advantage of in the past. So we're doing a number of different things, and I absolutely expect if you ask me to come back in a year or so, I'll be able to report we've accomplished everything that we're looking to accomplish.
That's great, Bill, and we'll certainly do that. So as we take a look at the future and as we talk about the current and future generations, what advice could you give to someone who's perhaps out there and maybe considering a career in public service and, say, specifically in federal government?
I would offer – and it would be exclusively my view that you need to follow your heart and you need to do things that you're passionate about. And public service in the future is going to look quite a bit different from the way public service has looked in the past. I know from my time I have felt as equally proud of my contribution, whether I was working in the public sector on the industry side as I was when I was working on the government side. And I know every contribution that people are making, no matter where they happen to sit, is helping move the country forward in the direction that we want to go. I would say, in particular to public service, Ovid 2,000 years ago looked at it as a virtue. And I've had the good fortune to work around a number of people who feel very passionately about what government does. I think we as citizens undervalue what a glorious achievement we've got in our Constitution and in our government. And any opportunity that you have to contribute to something like that, to be part of that proud history, is something that should be greatly respected and honored. And I think you'll find certainly in the Washington area, if not broader sense in the country today, there are a lot of patriots who are willing to step up and do the things that need to be done. And if you're that type of person, the federal government is absolutely the right place for you. And to the extent that there's lots of information available about opportunities, if you visit some of the websites we've been talking about, whether they're with my department in particular or through OPM or at the White House, and learn about what the president's initiatives are, learn about specific policy initiatives and find a way that because of your interest you can contribute, it is absolutely the best place to be.
That's fantastic advice, Bill. Thank you. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Paul and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, given the various leadership roles that you've had within the federal government.
Thank you very kindly. And again, for all that's been said, it's not just me. I've had the extraordinary good fortune in my career of working with a lot of great people. I find myself in their company again, certainly in this position. There are a lot of dedicated people at OMB. There are a lot of dedicated people at the Federal CIO Council, at the Department of Education, across government that allow me the opportunity to help try to solve these problems and to make sure that we're implementing the best things we can for the citizens of the United States. And I like to think I'm just maybe the pointy edge of a much bigger spear of dedicated, passionate people who are out there to get the job done every day.
That's great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Bill Vita, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Education. My co-host has been Paul Kayada, partner in IBM's General Government Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.